Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Dee and Tara and myself, Sandy, and we are in Philippians 3, and I believe we've gotten to about what?
Verse 2?
But you know, it's so good because it's talking about rejoicing in the Lord and focusing on the Lord and how the warnings that's in this first couple of, or the second verse, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much here, and we're going to go forward and talk about the basics of our faith.
Yeah, I love this. We're really having a good time. So we ended with last time about that Paul, he's warning them. He says to them, whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord, and because it safeguards their faith. And so we need to know what we're trying to safeguard within, what are the basics that we need to have in that. And so let's go in and let's read again the passage, and then we will get started. So Paul says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say to you, must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. May God honor the telling of his word. This is awesome. I love it. And so what we did is we're talking about the safeguards of our faith. And I like to ask questions. I had the question, why doesn't Paul tire of telling the Philippians the basics of their faith? And that's because he is trying to safeguard them. He wants to guard. And we had ended last time in saying the basics are he's guarding their morality, he's guarding their theology, he's guarding their thoughts, their attitudes, their actions, and literally trying to build within their mind the sensory memory in holiness. And so based on what Paul is talking about and using Paul's words, the basics that will safeguard us, he says, rejoice. Regardless of the circumstances, rejoice. That is a safeguard that he has given us. And we kind of focused on that 2 weeks ago and really emphasized the rejoice. And then the second part is that with rejoicing, that means that our focus has to be on the Lord, and not the circumstances and the people. And I really, when circumstances are bad or when people are it's like I think I wrote on Facebook, you know, when the circumstances are ugh and the people are it's hard for me to get my mind on rejoicing. Yet Paul says that if you choose to rejoice, that'll be your safeguard. Okay. Your faith will be guarded. And
a key
so
word.
I know.
Choose.
Right? Right. And so we have to choose to rejoice regardless of the circumstances. Focus on the Lord, not the people or the circumstances, and then choose to rejoice regardless of our feelings. And then I just wrote, it helps. And it's so convicting. I'm like reading stuff that I wrote, and I'm sitting here going, I wrote it because it's coming out of me being taught probably over and over and over again, which is why Paul does not tire of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
because we do need repetition.
We do. I mean, Jesus gave us repetition all the time, too.
Right.
He's constantly telling. Yeah.
It's easy to
agree. We need it to, so we remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy to agree when it's easy, not so easy to agree when it's hard.
Yep.
I like to use the word but.
Yeah, I did this but. Yeah. Well, there's that a lot in the Bible there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but there are no buts with God.
Nope.
You've heard that one. Yeah. So let's focus on verse 2. We kind of emphasized this quite a bit last time, but let's just, verse 2 and 3 I'm going to take. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself, all right, we'll stop there, no flesh. Okay, so we talked and we said that the dogs are like the Judaizers, and it was all about effort. It's all about the flesh. It's all about what man can do and about man's abilities. And so easy to do. I recently was listening to Timothy Keller, and I wish I could remember what his sermon was, but he said that he feels one of the greatest errors in our time in Christianity is that we equate the talents with the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. That the effort of what we do as if it is equal to the fruit of the Spirit, when somebody can in talent very much do a lot and it not be in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we are of the people here, he says, we who serve God by his Spirit. Mm. It doesn't say by talent. It doesn't say by treasure. It doesn't say by tradition. It doesn't say by routine. It is by his Spirit. And so that in anything that it comes from him and not us, and that's where we have to ask for it to be him. We have to give it over to him. We have to release it to him. Been really thinking and pondering on that one quite a bit. I have 2 Corinthians 11:13 down as Paul's referring to these dogs as deceitful men. And so go ahead and read that for us, Dee.
Like 13 through 15?
11, yeah.
Okay. All right, so 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves and as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds.
Hmm. So, disguising themselves as servants of righteousness.
Hmm.
That's a terrifying thought.
Mm-hmm.
To have the appearance, but no power. That is not good. That's what he tells us in Timothy. We don't want to have the appearance of power. But if we don't have the power, the evidence of Christ, it's not good. And so we have to guard ourselves to be safeguarded so that we can stop when we see the dogs, the evildoers or the mutilators. So broke it down, wanted to look at what is this? He says to watch out for. He uses that word watch out. It's lepit. And so we're watching out for dogs, those who do evil, and the mutilators. And we're going to go in and explain each of those now. The dogs, I want you to think in Eastern culture, they envisioned it to be like, it was the worst thing you could say of somebody is to call them a dog.
Right.
And it's what the Jews actually referred to the Gentiles. So for him to be saying of the Jew to call them dog, it's even greater offense. And one commentator said, what you need to in your mind is to envision as if you're looking at a pack of wolves that were out to go and to devour. And whatever is there, they're just hungry. They don't care. They're just going to mutilate it and eat it. That's what he's saying when he uses this term dogs. When he uses the term those who do evil, he said, these are people who say salvation is found in good works. Okay. When we think of people who do evil, we think of a whole bunch of things. But do we honestly put in that category somebody that says that you can work to get your faith as an evil person?
Or that you should do good things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? That is the definition for what he had meant. He says, these are the people that say salvation is found in good works.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to say evil, the word evil. But definitely, what would be the word, Beard? Maybe brainwashed, maybe...
Deceiver.
Deceived. They're deceived.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But he says these are those who do evil. Yeah. And the reason why it's evil is because it's
false.
Unto hell.
Yeah.
It's to hell. Like, seriously, like, to tell somebody that the way to salvation is if they have effort, mm-hmm. you are leading somebody to hell.
Right.
That is the reason why it is evil. Yep. That is Satan's number one goal.
That's why we need a lot of discernment with people mm-hmm. in our lives.
Right.
You know, that they're not
right.
the deceivers.
Completely. And mm-hmm. I as a young person, and I know, Sandy, you've heard me say this a lot, I was convicted at one point. I had an uncle, I have still an uncle, that he just would fight everything about Christianity and like knew I was a Christian. So like if he was around, he sought to debate me. And I'm a kid, like I am a kid. But he was, I don't know, he just liked that sparring, like that's his personality. And he wasn't somebody that, one, I knew how to fight with. And I didn't want to argue with him. And I don't know what happened. I'm like in college at this point. And I mean, I've been sparring with my uncle since I was in junior high, ever since I came to know Christ. And totally inadequate in what I'm doing because I just wasn't spiritually mature or discerned. And in college, I'm like, I just don't want to. Like, I don't even want to see him when he comes at Christmas break. And God really convicted me. And he's like, you are gratifying him into hell. Your unwillingness to share the gospel with him, you were saying, I'm just going to gratify you into hell. And I mean, I was so broken because if we do anything that is not going to lead like the gospel, like to guard the gospel, to safeguard the gospel, what Jesus did on the cross so that we would be saved, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be somebody that is a proclaimer of the truth. He died on the cross for mm-hmm. my sins. He died on the cross for
your sins.
Mm-hmm. And so that category, they put people who don't guard that as those who do evil. And that blew my mind away.
Yeah. Because I mean, just the word evil there with it blew mine. I was just like,
and he meant it that intensely. The commentator said that it's almost like he's vehement.
Right. Well, that's an intense word.
Right. That it's just out there. And so, one of the things as I was going through this, is like, God, okay, now I need help in discerning this because how do I know character apart from behavior? So if I don't see them doing, how do I know they are righteous? How do I know they're not evil? Because mm-hmm. lots of people do a lot of good but don't have salvation. Mm-hmm. I don't think people can live long. Like, if they are truly in Christ, it's going to be an automatic outflow from the inflow of Jesus in them that they're going to do that which will honor the Lord because Christ is at work in us.
I like that. Outflow from the inflow.
Right, right. How then do we know the character without behavior evaluation?
I don't know. That's back to the discernment through the Spirit.
But, I know, but that's what it came to. It's like, okay, because Scripture also tells us, you know, a tree by its fruit. Yeah. But the thing is, it is from the inflow that the outflow. It's not in order to gain. And that's what we have to guard. Okay, so
and
when...
Disguise can only be kept up for so long.
Oh, true.
Like, there will be seams, there will be things that if someone is basically a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, there will be things that you can see about them, like when they're under high stress, when they're totally exhausted, when they're at their breaking point. Like, and yeah, I don't know. I don't remember if I was going to go any further with that.
You're so cute.
Yes. The difference would be is when they break, do they repent?
Yes.
Yeah, or do they stay?
Mm. Yep.
And that's the thing is you start watching to see, you know, the grief for sin and the desire to return to be with the Lord. Because if that's not there, then the Spirit's not at work.
Yeah.
Because even sold out solid believers will break and snap. Yes. And so definitely. Seeing what happens, what they do with
the
when they have broken, mm-hmm. are they repenting and are they seeking restoration? Yeah. That's so important. It's so important. And so the next word he uses, the mutilators. I was like, wow, that's a really bad word. Like those mutilators who say you must be circumcised. Mm-hmm. The commentaries go so deep into this, you guys, it's like, it's crazy. But essentially, he has gone so far as to say that the people who tell you you have to be circumcised to be in Jesus, they're no different than somebody who's self-harming, cutting their body.
That's where the mutilation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is literally what he is saying, that they are no different than the pagans that are out there slicing to try to get their gods to hear them.
Yeah.
And he said that is what they are. They are like the pagan. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so he literally is just on them. And so it was like, wow. And Paul said that it's just a cutting that has no value apart from genuine faith. So the NAC commentary says, physical circumcision served to identify someone with the Jewish nation and had value for purpose of ministry, but it had no value in committing someone to God. It was not something that could lead somebody into salvation. And so we have to recognize this and stay with it. And so in God's economy, there's Old Testament support and New Testament support that it has to be the circumcision of the heart. And right now at Grace University, where our theme is heartbeat, and we're focusing in for this year, the verse Ezekiel 36:26, where it says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll take your hearts of stone and I'll give you a new heart. And a heart of flesh. It's not meaning flesh as in sarx, as in that which leads to sin, but flesh as in like soft and pliable and compassionate and usable by God. And so both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are given biblical examples that when it is referencing that circumcision should happen, that it is an issue of the heart, not the physical cutting of the body. And that's critical for us to understand. And so we're going to examine this further. So I want you to come back next week, and we're going to look at the three characteristics that he gives us in this passage of what spiritual circumcision might look like in our lives. We're so glad that you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to the donors that give and make this ministry possible. God bless.